This is Rick Gehry. I'm an artist and graphic novelist, and you're listening to Speaking of History.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Flash, Washington. The White House announces Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
General Eisenhower informs me that the forces of Germany have surrendered to the United Nations.
I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
One day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
Men will still say, this was our finest hour.
Hello. And welcome to Speaking of History, a podcast by an 8th grade American history teacher who discusses education, technology, and history. My name is Eric Langhorst, and this is podcast number 23, being recorded on April 29th, 2006. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please email us at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. And as always, please check out the show notes at the webpage, and that can be found at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Well, as you may have noticed from some recent episodes, I do have an interest right now in how graphic novels could possibly be used in the American history classroom, and I recently found a great one called The Murder of Abraham Lincoln, and it's illustrated by Rick Gehry. His work has appeared in many famous publications, including National Lampoon, Rolling Stone, DC Comics, Mad Magazine, Spy Magazine, and the LA Times. So I called Mr. Gehry up and talked to him a little bit about his recent graphic interpretation of the Lincoln assassination. And here it is.
Well, today with Speaking of History, we're here with Mr. Rick Gehry. And I became familiar with his work actually over spring break. I was looking at a copy of the school library journal, and they had a special on graphic novels. And I noticed an entry about the murder of Abraham Lincoln. And I was down in Dallas, and we were at a mall, and so I went into a Barnes & Noble and actually found the book and purchased it, and I've been looking at it. And I've really been looking a lot lately at graphic novels as a way to incorporate history into my classroom. And so I contacted Mr. Gehry, and I wanted to ask you a couple questions about what you've done with history.
Certainly.
First of all, have any other teachers contacted you about using this book in their class?
Actually, no one has contacted me directly, but I am aware that my books and this book and the others in this series are available in school libraries.
Hmm.
So that's kind of indirect feedback, I guess.
Now, would you describe this type of book as a graphic novel? Is that how you describe it, or?
Well, yeah, but graphic novel is kind of an imprecise term, and I don't like it very much, since I work in the nonfiction mode, so novel doesn't really apply. And I really wouldn't know what kind of category to put it in. It's graphic history.
Graphic history, I like that, graphic history.
Yeah.
Now, it's part of a series on Victorian murders, is that correct?
That's correct, yes. It's the Lincoln book is number 7.
Okay, and I noticed that there was one also on the assassination of Garfield.
That's correct, yeah.
Was the Garfield one first or the Lincoln one first?
Garfield book came out in 99.
Okay.
It was first.
And they just had a part of the 10 Days That Unexpectedly Changed America on the History Channel last week. They had an episode on the Garfield assassination. Did you happen to see that?
Oh, gosh. No, actually, I didn't. I didn't know they were doing that.
Yeah.
I should have been keeping more in touch.
Well, it's the History Channel, so I'm sure they'll replay it like a thousand times. But I saw part of it, and I don't really know too much about the Garfield assassination, so it was very interesting to see how that all played out. And
it is a fascinating story, and it really hasn't been done, you know, played up much in the various histories of the U.S.
All right.
It's really interesting.
Now, when you do a historical work like this, what do you do as far as the research to prepare for it?
Well, I try to do as much research as I can and consult all the reference material that's out there. Like for the Lincoln book, I have a pretty lengthy bibliography at the front of the book.
Yes, I noticed that. And that's for teachers, that's great, because then you can, you know, have a source to begin further research from. So as a teacher, when I was paging through and I saw that, I really appreciated that, because you can hand that to students, or you can, you know, begin to look other places for more information.
Precisely, yeah. In fact, for Lincoln, there's almost too much information out there, at least for what I was doing, and there's a lot of material that's come out only recently in the past, you know, 4 or 5 years that I was able to take advantage of. And for Garfield, there wasn't really as much out there, but there's enough to pretty much fill out the story. And for the other books in my series, which are on different murder cases, there's either a lot or hardly any at all, depending on the story. And it's just a matter of finding it and digesting it and then organizing it into a visual story.
Now, do you find that easy or difficult to make it more of a visual telling of the story than if you're writing it?
Well, I enjoy the visual part of it because I'm basically an artist and a writer secondarily, I think. And my main thrust is to go for clarity and accuracy. And I like to fill my books up with overhead views and maps and things like that to make the timeline and the events clear to people.
And that was another thing I was going to mention, too. I mean, from what you said earlier, I assume that you're making this more for a general population audience than a classroom audience. But as a teacher, you've got maps at the beginning that talk about, you know, where Booth fled after the assassination. You've got the funeral procession. You've got a map of Washington, D.C. I mean, it's really laid out well for a teacher if they wanted to incorporate this in a classroom.
Well, good. I hope so, because that's the kind of stuff I like to see when I'm looking at a good history book, the kind of thing that makes it come alive. And as an artist, I have to say I just enjoy doing it.
Now, when you draw somebody as famous as Abraham Lincoln, whom, you know, I'm sure everybody has in their mind what Abraham Lincoln looks like, do you find that a difficult challenge, or is it easier because people can recognize the major features?
Yeah, actually, it does make the job a little easier because he is such a familiar face. And with the the lesser-known characters, it's I have to do a little more research. But that's part of the process, too. And also in some of the other cases that I've done, there aren't really any visual references available for a lot of the people, and so I've just kind of had to rely on my imagination. So these books have a combination of history and imagination.
I'm sure one question you get a lot is, when somebody sees your work, how many hours go into producing a book like The Murder of Abraham Lincoln?
Oh, gosh. Well, these books take me about a year and a half total.
Wow.
I usually spend a good 6 months in reading and research before I start writing a script. And then after that, it takes about 4 months to do the pencils. So I have to do a complete version of the book in pencil to pass on to the publisher. And then the inking takes another 6 months after that. So it's a good year and a half altogether.
So basically every image is drawn twice by you, in pencil and in pen?
Well, I guess you could say that, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, I do a project with my students during the American Revolution unit where they have an option. If they want to, they can produce a song or a journal or a comic book. And I have several students that do comic book interpretations of either the entire war, or they'll do maybe just part of it, like Washington's Crossing. And some of my students have really, really enjoyed that. If I have some students that really want to get into drawing as a profession or a career, do you have any advice you could give them?
Gosh, for someone just starting out in art in general, or if they want to go into graphic storytelling or comic books in particular, I don't know what I would say specifically, but just in general terms, just keep drawing, you know, produce as much as you can and show it to people and get feedback, and you have to love to do it enough to keep on doing it, even when there isn't that much of a return, because it takes the love, definitely, is what will see you through.
Now, the series you're doing right now is on the Victorian time period.
That's
do
right.
you envision doing anything that's closer to modern time, or do you like that particular time period?
Well, I've always been drawn to the Victorian period. I've had an affinity for the trappings of the era, the costumes, the furniture, the buildings, and all the little knickknacks. But I've noticed that I'm kind of running out of Victorian murder cases, at least the ones that will fill up an entire book. So I'm trying to talk my publisher into moving into the 20th century, starting, after I finished Lincoln, I did one more book, which is coming out this year, and then I would work on another book right now for the 19th century. But after that, I'm hoping to start in on 20th century cases. We'll see if that happens.
Well, I'm definitely going to publicize the book a little bit on the podcast and let people know about it. I guess last year I had a lot of students that had anime books in my classroom.
Oh, right.
And, this year I've tried to focus a little bit on finding some historical content in that genre or in that format. And, I think a book like yours on the assassination of Lincoln or Garfield, would really kind of get the ball going a little bit on some of my more reluctant readers in my classroom. And so I definitely want to pass this on to my students. Actually, we're going to do the assassination of Lincoln in a couple weeks, and so I'm going to let my students look at some of the images that you have and really get some good feedback from them.
Oh, that's terrific. I didn't start this series with any particular audience in mind, but as it turned out, it seems to be have gravitated toward young readers. The first book I did on Jack the Ripper was selected by the American Library Association, I think, as one of the 10 best books for young or reluctant readers. I think,
oh, wow.
The term they used. Taking that cue, my publisher has really pushed them for school libraries, and they've made a breakthrough there.
Well, in the back, one thing that I kind of liked also was you bring up some questions at the end, talking about, you know, some of the aspects of, you know, what became of some of the missing pages of the journal the Booth had, and,
right,
you know, particulars where I think when a student gets done reading it, you know, they start to, you know, think on their own and start trying to figure out for themselves, you know, well, what was the motive behind that, or why did that happen? And
well,
I really appreciate that part of it also.
Well, I hope to, yes, spur people toward further reading and further research in the subject, because in this format, I can only cover so much territory. So I'm hoping people or kids will take away an urge to learn more about it. I find in most of the books I've done, I've tried to leave some questions open so people will want to learn more, especially the unsolved murders. I'm really drawn to the unsolved cases.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today on the podcast, and I hope that more people go ahead and check out this book, and I will put a link on the website so people can learn more about you.
Well, I appreciate that, Eric.
All right.
It's been very nice talking to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's where I'll stop the podcast. I had a couple just quick questions for you. When I do the podcast, I usually do a lead-in where the people that I'm interviewing say their name and, like, introduce themselves, and then say you're listening to Speaking of History. Could I get you to do an intro for the podcast?
Sure.
Okay.
What should I say?
Like I would say, you know, I'm Eric Lang. My name is Eric Langhorst. I'm an 8th grade history teacher, and you're listening to Speaking of History. So if you just want to kind of introduce yourself, and then say you're listening to Speaking of History, and then I'll put that at the beginning of the podcast.
Oh, okay. This is Rick Gehry. I'm an artist and graphic novelist, and you're listening to Speaking of History.
All right. That's great.
Terrific.
Hey, now, I actually, when I was looking at your webpage, I noticed that I had seen your work before, and I think it's the rubber stamps.
Right,
The famous people as far as, like, kind of a character that's kind of an oval and stuff. And what I did, I think probably about 5 or 6 months ago, I took a non-copyright stock image of George Washington, and I made it look like he had an iPod where he had, like, headphones and all that kind of stuff. And I put that on, I have, like, a little business card, so if I'm at a conference or something and I interview somebody, I give that to them so they can, you know, go back to the web page or whatever. If I was to hire you to draw me an image that was kind of like that rubber stamp where, you know, you took, like, George Washington and you just made it look like they had a little iPod, how much would you charge for something like that?
Oh, gosh. I do that kind of stuff for, like, $75.
Okay. If I kind of give you a rough idea of kind of what I would want, I mean, is that something where, I mean, I'm not, time frame, I mean, I'm not really worried about time frame, but if I contacted you, is that something you could possibly do for me so I could put on, like, a business card or on the web page and stuff?
Okay. Yeah, I'd be happy to.
All right. And then $75, that'd be for the image, for you creating the image and everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I probably won't do it right away, but I will see what I got as far as finances then and then figure out something. But that'd be great because then I would have a professional image, you know, that I could put on a business card or whatever. And I really like the way that your artwork looks. And do you think that'd be something that'd be possible to do, like, a George Washington and make it look like he's got, like, an iRiver next or an iPod next to him with headphones?
Sure, that'd be fun.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, I'll figure out the money thing on my end. I gotta talk to my wife and stuff, but I have a little fund that I use for this hobby. So I'll try and figure out what we got available, and then I'll give you a ring later on.
Okay.
But that'd be great. I mean, I would love to have your work on my business card.
Because
I really, I mean, like I said before, I saw this book. I'd seen your work other places, and I thought it was really neat. So,
well, I appreciate it.
All right. And I'm definitely going to check out the other book also about Garfield, because I wasn't aware of that one until I got this one, and I saw it in the front there.
Uh-huh.
So, is it all right? What I do is I put links, like show notes, on the webpage. And what I was going to do is put a link to your page, your web page,
okay,
and then also a link to where people could purchase your book. So is there a particular one that you would prefer me to link to?
I'm not sure about retail outlets, because I don't really keep track of, but they're orderable directly from the publisher, and I know I have a link to my publisher there on my website.
Okay. Would you prefer that I go to your publisher, or if I can find it on Amazon, if I put a link directly to Amazon, or would you prefer one over the other?
No, it doesn't really matter to me.
Okay. Well, I'll see if there's a link on Amazon, and if there is, I'll just link it right to there, and then if people want to purchase it, they'll get it right through Amazon.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure all my books are on Amazon.
Okay. And then I will put a link also to the publisher, regardless if I can find it on Amazon or not.
Okay.
And then that'll draw more people to the publisher site also.
That'll be great.
So it's just kind of a side thing that I'm doing, but I'm finding out that quite a few people listen to it, and it's gotten quite a bit of attention globally. Like today I've had like people from 15 or 20 countries check out the page. So I don't know how people are really finding it, but people are finding it and I'm getting a lot of response from it. So
that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
I'd love to be able to tell more people about your work and have them check into it. So
terrific.
Now, is it also possible if I would just do a scan of like one page to put up next to the podcast so people can see a sample of that?
No problem at
Okay. All right. Well, I will work on this, and I got to edit it a little bit, and I'll try and get it done here in the next couple of days. And as soon as I get it up on the internet, I'll send you a little notice that says it's up, and you can go ahead and check it out. And if you're looking at it later and you want something changed, or you know, you want a different link up or something, just email me, and I'll change it right away for you.
Okay.
So
that'll be great.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Forward,
yeah, thank you very much for talking to me. And I plan on using this with my kids in just a couple weeks, and I'm eager to see what kind of feedback I get on it. So,
well, terrific, Eric. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you,
okay.
Mr. Gehry.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks again to Mr. Gehry for taking the time to visit with us about his work. I did use a new technique on recording this podcast in the past Some of my phone podcasts have been recorded basically using a speakerphone and recording directly into the iRiver using the internal microphone and just setting the iRiver next to the speakerphone. This one I actually used a wireless phone recording controller. It's a device that I bought at Radio Shack for about $25, and I'll be talking a little bit more about it in a future podcast and about how it's been working for me for my phone interviews. Go ahead and check out Mr. Gary's books. I do have some links on the show notes that'll link right up to Amazon, so you can go ahead and purchase those if you want. And he also has a similar book on the assassination of President Garfield. So I encourage you to check those out. I know I've been showing them to my 8th grade students, and we're currently coming up on the Lincoln assassination in our curriculum, so I'll be using it a little bit with my class over the next couple weeks. If you are using graphic books or graphic novels in history class, please let me know. I'd be really interested in what kind of experiences you've had. I'm looking at possibly doing a little bit more next year with some graphic novels. And as always, if you'd like to support the show a little bit, if you click on the Google ads at the top of the blog page, I get a little bit of revenue from that. I think I'm up to a whopping total of $20 for the last 5 months. So if you'd like to help out the show, just click on one of those links. And you don't even have to purchase anything. Just by clicking on the link, you throw a little bit of change my way, and I'm looking at possibly getting a new microphone. All right, well, thanks a lot for listening, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst in Liberty, Missouri, under a Creative Commons license. Visit the website for show notes and links to material in the podcast at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. The podcast is also available on iTunes. Please email all comments and questions to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Background music for the intro is Z from James Underberg from PodSafe Audio. Thanks for listening.